29. You ready? You ready for me to reconvene?
Yes.
Okay, we concluded executive 8:29. At this time, we're going to reconvene our open meeting at 8:30. Okay. Approval of the minutes. I don't really want to do this right now. So let's just rip through the meeting minutes and because there were some little minor changes, but is there anything you guys want to really address, or can we just approve them?
I do have one thing. The meeting of March 6th, 2019, section I, this language needs to be added.
Well, wait, what item are we on? One?
The present,
1A? One A,
it's going to be 4I.
4I. Okay, alrighty.
All right, so the language needs, this language needs to be added to that. Motion seconded by Mr. Olmos. Ayes 3, nays 0. Motion carried, motion passed.
Okay, and the language I would like to add to that same language is that I preferred Wednesdays because I had modified my classes from evenings to the morning only, and that I was going to do that to accommodate you.
Okay.
And so that is the information that I want to add. And then you want to add, tell me one more time, the vote?
The vote was, so motion seconded by Mr. Olmos, me.
Okay, vote second, Mr. Olmos. Let me get this. Olmos, okay.
Ayes 3.
Ayes 3.
Nays 0.
Nays 0.
Motion carried, motion passed.
Nays 3. Nays 0. Okay, all righty. Okay, next.
That's
so
it.
The next one, did you have changes on which one now?
That's the only change.
Okay, so are we good on January 19th, the agenda? Yes?
Yes.
Okay, we're good on the 19th. The January 9th. We have item 2A, the contract that's for the certificated employee. What was the name of that employee? We need a name on there. There's no name. So we'd need to have a name on that.
Give me a moment to find it, please, Ms. Walker.
Okay, that would be
January 9th.
And
2A.
2A information and action.
You're saying why do we need a name?
Yeah, we have certificated employment. We've had a lot of contracts, and you just don't have a name on there. Who
so you
was?
You'd like to see the name on there?
Yeah. Please.
I'll add the name.
Okay. And then we'll get that before approval, right? Okay. Okay, next, February 6th. Any changes there?
Nope.
Okay, so again, like all of these minutes should be posted, and we're supposed to have them posted within 3 days of that meeting. And so in the future, we'll have to try to get those posted within 3 days of the meeting, and that is according to our bylaws. So with those changes, we'll touch back on that next month at our regular board meeting. Okay. So at this time, I'd like to move that pertaining to item 4, to item 3A and B, that we will approve those. We'll hit that next meeting and approve those with those changes.
Can we approve the ones that we agreed no changes on?
Okay, tell me which one it was without changes.
Wasn't Wednesday, February 6th?
February 6th without changes?
Or was that the one that you wanted the name?
I didn't know. Let me see. January 19th was the one that was good, right? And January 9th. No, January 9th we have changes. So January 19th was okay. Right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's it?
And then let's see. January 9th, that's the one that you want the name added, right?
Right. So it's just a technicality there.
And then,
February 6th, we're good on February 6th?
Yes.
Okay. So February 6th is okay. And so we'll do approve February 6th, January 9th. And then we have changes that we'll do deal with next month, March 6th and January 9th.
So the only change that I'm seeing, Ms. Walker, is that one board meeting where I just need to, instead of saying certificated employee, to add the name of the employee.
Right, and so would you get that name on there and we'll approve that? Okay,
and then,
perfect.
The one that you weren't here for this, Mr. Franco, I mean, Dr. Morales. I'm sorry about that. It's going to be our last meeting, March 6th, Section 4I, Presentation, Discussion, and Possible Action Regarding Approval of the Board Meeting Future Dates. Mm-hmm. I would like this language to be added. Motion seconded by Mr. Almost, ayes 3, nays 0. Motion carried, motion passed.
And the changes I want was that I preferred Wednesday and that I changed my classes from p.m. to only a.m. to accommodate Mr. Olmos, and that was more convenient for him, and I was okay with that. I said it's okay with me, right there. Okay.
So we're approving February 6th and January 9th.
February 6th was the one that's the one that you said you wanted the changes on the vote. And
No, that was March 6th.
Or on the, you said you wanted the votes added?
Right, March 6th.
Okay.
So we're approving February 6th and January 9th, right?
We're okay on March 6th has changes. January 19th is good. January 9th, we want the name, right? And then February 6th is good. All righty. Okay. All right. Okay. So with those changes, we'll revisit that next month. Information item.
So are we approving?
We're going to approve. We should approve this. Number three, approval of minutes. I'd like to approve the minutes for the meeting February 6th and January 19th, and we will revisit the March. February 6th and January 19th is okay. We're going to have changes to March 6th and January 9th.
Yes.
Okay. So without anything further, I'd like to move that we approve those two dates, and we'll deal with the other two on the next meeting.
Yeah, I'll second that.
Mr. Romo's motions for second. Ayes?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Item four, information items and presentation, C.W. Payne. And I'm sorry that we kept you waiting here so long.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Madam President, members of the board, I was contacted by the superintendent and business manager to help provide some clarification to student funding for fiscal year 2017-18, which would have ended June 30th, 2018, for last fiscal year, as well as the Rent for Ed funding, which applies to the current fiscal year of FY18-19. So my goal is to help clarify some questions for you as a board, so you can move forward and make decisions in regards to employee compensation, as well as just the overall budget of the district. So I'm going to go through this, hopefully be able to answer any questions that you guys have and clarify some information you guys wanted. So I wanted to start with this slide to talk about first fiscal year 17-18. In fiscal year 17-18, it was approved to give a pay increase to teachers of 1.06%. It was specifically identified for teachers, for specific teachers. Every district in the state submitted information to the Arizona Department of Education with a list of what their total instructional teacher salaries were. And based on that information that was submitted to the state, then the state went through and calculated how much each district would get for that 1.06% plus the cost of the state retirement contributions and then your FICA, which is your Social Security and Medicare contribution. So it's roughly 18%. But that was funding for 17-18. That was information that was submitted to the state by your district through the adopted budget as well as the revised budget last year. So the state went through and did a full calculation for every district. They did a calculation for you guys and paid that out, so I'm going to be able to show you that information. But that, this is a slide from to kind of show 17-18 versus the current year of 18-19. So with the information that was submitted, I'm trying to highlight it but make it viewable for everybody to see because it's just a PDF document from the state. So it has all the districts. This is public information. You can pull it up on the state's website. So with NACO, with your guys' information, that's like budget and salary information that goes through. The number of staff that the district reported was 13. And I can scroll up to see some of the calculations. But overall, what the district received for salaries for teachers was $4,833. So that's the amount that was allocated to the district for salaries. The total amount that was added to the budget is the $5,752 to include the cost of the benefits for those additional salaries. So that is the amount that you guys received last year for that 1.06. And on this sheet at the top, it's just the factors and the information again that was submitted by the district. So it kind of shows like your teacher count, what your salary was prior to that increase, and then what was reported on the AFR, if there was a change, and how they calculated the change to get to the total. So it's the same methodology, the same process for every district, and it was based on specific information for specific teachers that you had that were returning teachers. So every district had to do this in the state to do this calculation. So once that was calculated, that information was submitted. It had to all be submitted by last December to the state so the state could finish their calculation. So then in December, and every month, to kind of go back a little bit, every month you guys receive a payment, or roughly every month you guys receive a payment. It's broken into 12 payments throughout the year from the state for your funding. So when they did their, every month they sent out a letter stating, we're going to make your payment for this month. This is any changes or calculations or anything that's included. So this is that memo from the Department of Education stating dated December 1st, and right here it just states that the salary increase for that 1.06 has been calculated, is included on that December 1st payment of 2017. So the district received that $5,752 to be able to pay that increase for those instructional people last fiscal year. So that puts it on there, and then this is not that specific payment for December because the state overwrites those every month as they make the payments, but on this sheet you can see as well when the state makes their calculation, it's reported there to show they're including that in the overall calculation of the payment for the district. So with that, I don't know what questions you have in regards to that money from last year. At this point, I think looking at everything, again, the district had that additional budget capacity, has the funding. The district is going to go through and review to see if those that additional payment was made out to those employees. If it was, that'll be accounted for. If it was not, I believe you guys can go through that process to make that payment that should have been made last year if it was not made yet.
Okay. Questions?
Dr. Morales, you want to address anything about this?
No. The only thing I would say is that if the faculty or staff have any questions, you know, we can certainly review that at our next meeting, not meeting of the board. And, you know, we're happy to go through, you know, some of those other details in a little bit more detail. You know, it was a good report.
You did a great job. We appreciate it. You definitely clarified a lot of things, so thank you for that.
So, again, that all relates to the 17-18 fiscal year. And, again, just to clarify, that is not red for ed money. All the red for ed money actually starts this current fiscal year, which, again, is kind of identified on this slide. This is something that was presented by the State Board of Education as well as some other district organizations, Arizona School Business Officials and the Arizona School Board of Administrators, so like the attorneys and stuff, to kind of clarify some of this information at some of the meetings. This is just a webinar, so this isn't my slide, but I can try to explain what's on here. So what they're trying to identify with this is last year in 17-18, there was that 1.06% that was specific for just certain teachers, and that was part of a two-year plan for a 2% increase. And then, was it this time last year, around this time last year, the Red for Ed and the push for the Red for Ed, so that changed kind of how that all works. Now it's just a dollar base provided, not tied to specific teachers or teachers. It's just part of the overall funding that the district receives from the state based on your student count. In FY 17, it was the 1%. In 18, the 9% is what they're doing. I have another slide that kind of shows that. Again, it's an increase to the overall base formula that you receive per student. So as they add in this percentage, the state has to do an inflation factor and some other things. So that's going to be included in that inflation factor calculation. So I have a slide that kind of shows that with that overall goal of getting to a 20% raise by 2020 compared to the fiscal year 17. So with this slide, it kind of breaks down, and again, this is information that was provided to me by the Department of Education, some different information that they've sent out to help other districts with these questions, showing kind of the red for ed money and what the goal is. So you'll see that fiscal year 18, that would have been last school year, that's that 1%, so 1.06% that they had, that's the 1%, going for 9% this year, and then 5% for next fiscal year, and then another 5% after that. So that's how they, ADE, or the state has broken out how they want to get to that 20% by 2020. With the funding increase this year at 9%, next year, whatever that increase was, you're probably looking at about half of that, compared to 5% to the 9%. Questions on that, I guess, to try to break it up before I just talk too much and then you forget what I'm talking about. Then the next bit of information is kind of a breakdown to show, okay, every district in Arizona gets a base support level per student. So based on what your student count is, they apply certain weights to different types of students in different grade levels. So every student in this isn't always equal or one. But based on what your weighted student count is, you either fall into the district without teacher compensation or a district with teacher compensation. You guys qualify for the teacher compensation program, which I think 90% or more of the districts in the state qualify for that. So what they're trying to show you is the base support level. So just what you would receive is that $300 or the $3,729 is what you would have received The required inflation factor that the state has to fund is $67. And then when they're taking that 1% plus this remaining increase for 2019, so that's, I would say, the red for ed dollars, to summarize it. Because of red for ed and those increases, you're receiving an additional $213 this year for students. So that then rolls down to just that $4,009 that you get. That's just included in your overall funding that you receive from the state. And when you, again, when you receive that payment or those payments from the state, that's just broken up into individual payments every month. It's different than Prop 301 or the money last year where they pretty much paid it all out in December. This is just something that comes every month as part of your regular monthly payment from the state to fund the district. But yeah, overall, in looking at this, a lot of times when you're trying to see with Red for Ed what that brought in, with the way the state's presenting it, it's that $213 of additional funding you're getting because of the Red for Ed movement. So if you guys have...
No questions. Any questions?
And to clarify, I guess going back to just this PowerPoint slide, the 17-18 money again was specific to teachers and teachers' salary. This is an increase to overall district funding, so it's at the district's discretion of how that money is spent, whether it's on salaries or supplies or whatever that the need is of the district to be able to do that. I know in talking with the administration, you guys have done a step increase as well as picking up insurance cost increase. I don't know what those are, but those costs would obviously go towards those additional funds that you're receiving this year with those Red for Ed dollars. So I don't know in comparison of one to the other if which one is greater or less than the other, but those, I would think those Red for Ed dollars are going to fund those increases that you guys have approved at the beginning of the year. Or if you guys have any questions or additional comments.
I don't.
No.
But I think that's hopefully sums up some of the information that you guys were looking for and clarifying some of that so you have some direction to go with and things to look at going forward.
Ms. Walker, I'd like to thank Mr. Payne for his work. Every time I call, he picks up and he's done great work on this. And I know that in the abbreviated time that he's with the audience, there's kind of like a lack of context, but there's just certain things because you can't communicate with the audience, but the report for the board was pretty thorough, and it's much appreciated, and I will be able to outline some of those issues with faculty and staff here. And in addition to that, you know, he came over from Flagstaff, so he's a long ways from home, but I appreciate his time, and especially having to wait, you know, into the evening for you to deliver your presentation, so it's much appreciated. Be safe on the road home.
Thank you. Great job. We appreciate it. Ms. Horton.
Yes, we're on to the financial expense report. This is through the end of March. The first line is the M&O operating expense, and it does show $29,000-$30,000 in the negative, but we have a lot of stuff encumbered that we have the rest of the year. We have record bills all encumbered, salaries are still encumbered, and health insurance, so we've got a lot of stuff that will shake out through the next 2 or 3 months, and that will not end up in the negative based on other things. The other negative that shows is done on line, that's on 111. There's expenses coming out of that that I need to get transferred. There's no budget there, so that's why that shows in the negative. And I just need to get those expenses moved out of that fund. But other than that, everything is in the positive. In the last month, when we had the 610 line, the capital line, because I had that bus encumbered in there, that has been taken care of. And so it doesn't show the bus encumbered anymore, so that's released that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions on this at this point?
I don't. Thank you, Don.
And then handing out the vouchers for the March expense vouchers. The only difference between the two expense vouchers is on the one and the second one on 1924, I paid the health insurance, and that runs about $24,000 every month. So that's about the difference between the two expense vouchers in the month of March. And as you see, payroll comes out pretty much close to the same every payroll. Any other questions here?
Nope. Good job. Thank you. Item D, the update on the summer program. Dr. Morales.
Yes, I wanted to provide you an update on the summer program. I sent the letter to the parents, the one that is attached in your board packet, and basically kind of made it like an FAQ. So the parents had some information. We will be communicating more frequently to see how many parents are interested in having their children come to the summer program. It is open to parents or the students of incoming kindergartners all the way through the exiting seventh graders. The eighth graders that are promoting in May, the program will not be for them because we consider them to be Bisbee students. We certainly hope that Bisbee has some programs for them, but we are focusing in on the NACO students. And so it is some information that I'm sending out, and every opportunity that I have, I will provide you updates, whether in the Friday report or in these meetings, in terms of how it's going. There is, in my superintendent report, something related to the program. I did poll the teachers and asked how many of them would be interested in working in the summer program. Five of them indicated, five out of the 15 indicated that they were interested in participating in the program. I kind of would like to see between 8 to 12 teachers. And the reason that the range is because I need to see how many of our students whose parents are want to send them. So that will dictate the amount of teachers that we have. But it may be that we will seek teachers beyond our school district. I want to give our teachers the first opportunity to be able to work in this program. But if we have 180 students that are interested in the program, then it's going to be very difficult and really not workable for five teachers to handle 180 students. So in that, I will come to you and say, I want to hire teachers from like Bisbee or Palominas. But if we end up with 100 students that are interested in the program, then it might be that we can swing it with the five. But anyway, right now I'm up in the air because I still don't know how many parents would be interested because I'm still in the process of communicating with them in terms of the summer program. But anyway, that's the update on the summer program, unless you have any questions.
I don't. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Zoe, get more information on that later anyway, so sure. We'll readdress that, huh? Okay, thank you. Item D, the May 2nd Be Kind Assembly.
Yes, we have Ms. Conalog here, and I want to give a shout-out to Ms. Conalog. She and Ms. Franco have collaborated on the ability to bring in the Be Kind organization to come and deliver a presentation to our students. And I felt it was important. There's no cost to the district, and Ms. Conalog will get into those details in a minute, but I think she has a short video,
and she has some information for you so that you can see what we're setting up for our kids. It's pretty cool.
It's an amazing opportunity for our district. The Be Kind organization is in Phoenix, and it's a nonprofit, and they do a variety of things. But one of the things they do is they put on an assembly that follows the model of kindness. And how Ms. Franco and I got together was that is her motto for her class this year, is kindness. And I had the privilege of seeing the Be Kind crew come to Palominos, and it was beyond belief. So I contacted the organization and found out it would only cost us $1,575 plus travel expenses, plus $1,675 for a cyberbullying assembly. So I emailed back and said, thank you, but we don't have that kind of money. But thank you. So they emailed back and they said, tell us about yourself. Where are you? Tell us about your students. In a couple weeks, they contacted me and said, we got somebody that's going to cover the cost for your district. It'll be no cost.
Wow.
Good job.
And so we have a short video to show you. This is not some little, not professional thing. So it's professional.
In 2011, our founder, Marcia Meyer, was inspired when she heard the word kindness defined as the act of extending good to others.
Marcia and some of her friends got together and decided that they wanted to have an event about recognizing teachers. We called it the Be Kind People Project. As we went into schools, we wanted to show the students how to extend kindness, but they did not want to hear from us as a staff. We look like their mother or their grandmother. We're not cool. We can't spin on our heads. But we knew people who could do that.
We wanted to make it cool. You know, we use dance, we use spoken word, we use skits, and we focus on teaching the Be Kind Pledge. Kids all over the country connected to what we were saying. It didn't matter if we were in an affluent neighborhood or in a low-income setting. Everybody connected with it. We've exposed over 2 million students nationwide to our Be Kind Pledge. I mean, in Arizona alone, we'll reach hundreds of thousands of kids.
Changes in the kids can be instantaneous. And I hope that kids don't just see, you know, the lights and hear the music, but really just hear the message. Remind them that they're the future of the world.
We are teaching kids about kindness. We are teaching them to take it into the community.
We get to see them treating each other well in the assembly, thanking their teachers.
1, 2, 3!
Teachers after, you know, crying, thanking us for what we've done.
And it has changed my life. You see, kindness goes to the very heart of how people respect, love, honor, communicate with, and treat one another.
Thank you.
So that's going to be on May 2nd in the morning. And,
do you know what?
And I will send each of you an invitation if you want to come in and just see. It's going to be a great assembly.
Okay.
I believe the first one is going to be around 8:30 in the morning.
Okay.
So there will be like two presentations?
Yeah, there's an 8:30, and I think there's maybe one. We still need to work on the details, but I think the second one is going to be in mid-morning for the upperclassmen at a 6 to 8.
Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you. That sounds like a lot of fun. Good.
Thank you, Ms. Conlon.
Okay, moving on to our action items. Item 5A. We covered a lot of material. I don't know if either of you have something you want to make a motion on, or if we made some discussion about our options, about possibly tabling it for now until we could continue, since it's gone into way late in the evening. The option of opening it up, the option of renewing the contract. And so I would like to make a motion to open it up, because just on a basis that Mr. Morado, he has really given it, he's been done a great job, but Mr. Morado came in. I'm going to make a motion to table the item at this point. Do I get a second?
I second.
Mr. Merrill seconds. Ayes?
Aye.
Nay.
Ayes? Nay.
Thank you.
Okay, item B, presentation, discussion, possible action regarding the approval of the vouchers for the month of March.
Can I make a motion?
Well, you can make a motion, but we already voted on. Do you want to go back and?
Yeah, I would like to make a motion to renew Dr. Morales' contract. Can I get a second?
I think from the standpoint of the Roberts Rules of Order, the board voted 2-1 to table this to a future date. And so once you vote to table the item, I'm not sure, with due respect to you, Mr. Woodmills, I'm not sure that you can then come back and revisit this unless the maker of the motion to table decides that they want to undo the action that you just took. If indeed that happens, then you can entertain Mr. Olmos.
We could motion. Do that. Mr. Mero, how do you feel about that? I don't mind doing that if you prefer to do that. We can withdraw my motion if you want to proceed.
Okay.
I'm sorry? Remove the second?
There has to be a second to the decision.
Remove it. Okay, so I'm making a motion to remove my suggestion and my motion. Do I get a second to remove it?
I'll second it.
Ayes?
Aye.
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 Aye. Okay, 3 ayes. Okay, make your motion. Okay, go ahead. So we're going to do it right now. Go ahead. Make your motion.
I would like to make a motion to open the position of superintendent, so that and make it available for people to apply, to include Dr. Morado.
That's the same motion I made.
Right? You motioned to table it.
Oh, table it, okay.
But you motioned the first time. You changed it. You wanted.
Okay.
You said initially that you wanted to change it to...
But that was...
You just changed your motion. Okay.
That's null and void.
That was a discussion that we had in there about the applications, and that's not what you wanted. So, as you can see right now, it's causing a lot of tension because that is something that we were talking about in there, and you didn't want that.
Right.
So that's something that we talked about in executive session, and you cannot discuss what
exactly.
We talked about.
Exactly. We're not discussing
in
it.
Executive
so make
session.
make sure you're doing the right thing so other people around here don't look bad because we were trying to do something good as well.
Okay. All right. So I would like to make that motion to open the positions to the public, make it available so that Dr. Morado and other people could apply for the position of superintendent.
I would have made that motion also for us to open that position for other people to apply, and for also for Mr. Morado. You would like to.
Okay.
So you want to second it?
Let's take
I
a vote.
I would like to second it.
Okay,
yes.
That brings the seconds. Ayes?
Aye.
Aye. Nays? Three ayes. Alrighty. Presentation on B, discussion and action regarding the approval of the vouchers for the month of March.
This is just to approve the vouchers that you have before you, so you can sign them later on in the evening.
Do you have any question about the vouchers?
It's the vouchers that you reviewed in the information items. I think what I'm going to do, if it pleases the board, is in the future I will just put it in one area, the information action, so that you can do it all in one. Right now it was under consideration for as an information item, and now we're bringing that same item for a vote because you have to approve any vouchers that we put forth for the employees.
Do you have any discussion about the vouchers? I move that we approve the vouchers for the month of March.
Second.
Ayes?
Aye.
Aye. Item C, presentation, discussion, and action regarding the approval of the donation of $3,000.
Yes. Thank you, Ms. Walker. I don't know if you had an opportunity to review the It's more of a short presentation that I sent you in the board packet yesterday. I've had an opportunity, actually an honor, to be able to connect with parents and community folks from Naco, Sonora. It was something that was started by the previous administrator, and I have been the beneficiary of this partnership. In August, we had an opportunity to take our teachers over to meet some parents, and it was a great experience. Tom Carlson works closely with the NACO initiative, which is set up in NACO, Sonora. And for the benefit of the public, we have over 125 students that every day cross the border. They come back and forth to school here. And some of the parents cannot cross for whatever reason. And so I've had the opportunity to go about twice a month over to NACO and connect and be able to share with them the good things that are happening in NACO school. And they have an opportunity to ask me questions about things that they may not understand or they need more information on. So there is a community-minded advocates from Cochise County that meet there, I want to say monthly or quarterly. And so I had an opportunity to go, and there was a retired principal that visits Bisbee, and she originally is from Wyoming, and she had the idea of why don't we have teachers twice a year come to the NACO Initiative building and present to the parents the work that the students do throughout the year. But
the insistence was, we don't want teachers to be able to come after hours and not be paid. So this retired principal and Mr. Carlson will be working on getting a grant so that they could pay the teachers whenever we have any connections or partnerships over in NACO. Then we had a retired city councilman from Bisbee, his name is Douglas Dunn, and he showed up to my office with a $3,000 check that I'm presenting to you today for consideration to either accept it or not accept it. And if you accept it, what he is interested in doing with that money is that instead of waiting until October of this coming year and April of 2020, that we could do the first initiative meeting in late April so that we can have teachers go over, show the work, present to the parents the good work that the teachers are doing here with the kids. And the teachers then would then be paid through the generous donation of Mr. Dunn. And so this seems to me like a win-win. We have the check, it's been deposited, but we wanted to bring it to the board because obviously you have to approve any donations. And if you approve the donations, then I will get to work with the faculty to see which one of them, which one of the faculty would want to go across the border. There is no pressure. I understand that there may be individuals that either don't feel comfortable or choose not to go across the border. It is not a requirement. But if you approve this, I will offer it to the teachers, and then they would get paid for it. One of the other things that we did recently through the good work of Francisco Rodriguez is we've set up the it's like a FaceTime connection, but it's called Zoom. And Zoom is used widely at the University of Arizona. And so through Zoom, we are setting it up in all the teachers' workstations. And we set it up in the computers over in NACO, in the NACO initiative. There's no cost to the Zoom program. And that way, if there's a parent that wants to have a meeting with a teacher here at NACO, they can do it through the privacy of the computer screen. They'll have the headphones, and they will be looking at the teacher just like you do FaceTime. So we think that that's a real plus. And I want to thank Francisco for his good work in setting that up and then setting up the teacher computers. We did a mock presentation with one parent and Ms. Chavez, and they were able to talk just fine. And it works fairly well. So I was able to come to the teachers and indicate, hey, this is another option that you have to communicate with parents. And not only the parents in NACO, they can communicate with any parent here on this side as well. And they can communicate with anybody in Phoenix, anybody in the world, quite frankly, through the Zoom. And so from that standpoint, I see that as a great plus. The last thing that Mr. Dunn would like to see is to see if we could set up a club, a Conexiones club, for NACO so that this club can think up of ideas of how they can better partner with folks across the border. Isn't that a great idea in terms of the political environment, what it is right now, and not commenting on it, but to be able to have more sustainable relationships between some of the students that are across the border and some of the students here in NACO, Arizona. Many of them grew up together, and it's just some of them, their parents decided they were going to come to school here. We're happy to have them. But that connection, I think, with the Conexiones Club could be a real benefit. And what Mr. Dunn has promised is that he has promised more funding so that this club can then begin to do more outreach back and forth across the border. I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm very excited about that, and I think this would be a great opportunity and one more outlet for our students to establish real effective relationships with our neighbors. And so that is the Conexiones project.
Now, is this, what year are we on, two or three? Two or three the year on the grant?
And I want to say it's three? We're in a third year.
Okay. And so those costs will... one in addition to this, that's going to cover the cost for that program?
Yes.
To cover that. Okay. You have any questions?
Is there any teachers that are, to your knowledge, that are willing to go across the border?
I didn't poll them. I didn't want to call them out, you know, in a meeting, mm-hmm. because I want to be sensitive to the fact that there are some that would go every day after school and have a great time. There are some that, for whatever reason, and I need to be respectful of that, may not feel comfortable with that or don't want to. And it's like, you know what, that's great. I don't have any issues with that. There's no pressure. But if you want to go, then you would be paid for your time.
You have a discussion?
No.
No?
Ready so to... if you vote to accept the donation, then I will inform Mr. Dunn that you did that, and then I will begin to work in earnest with the teachers and work with the NACO initiative with the parents there to actually set up the date, and then at that point, then I would be asking the teachers to commit or not. And if they don't commit, there should be nothing said to them. It's absolutely fine.
And then that $300,000 will compensate them for their time?
Correct.
And won't cost us anything in addition
no.
to the grant? Okay. You want to make a motion?
How many during the week? Is it once a week or how many
no,
times?
It would be one visit.
One visit a month?
In late April. He wanted to do this as a starter.
Oh, okay.
Then what?
He is of the opinion that this retired principal and Mr. Carlson will find grant money.
So for right now, it's only one visit.
Right.
Towards the end.
And so he just took the amount of teachers, multiplied by 5 hours by at $25 an hour, mm-hmm. and he said, "Here, this is my money. Do it." Very
would
generous.
That be like a Saturday, or it depends on what?
It would be after school.
Oh, during the week.
One day.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'll make a motion.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. We'd like to make a motion to approve the donation of $3,000 by Mr. Douglas Dunn. Can I get a second?
A second.
Just a second. Ayes.
Ayes.
Aye.
Yeah, ayes. That motion carries. Good job. Okay. Item D. Presentation, discussion, and action regarding the approval of special activity contracts. And this is something that was tabled from our last meeting. And the reason for the delay is because I knew that whenever I saw this on here, and I had to consult with our attorney, that, number one, we had never had to pay people in addition for the Azella. And then we also, if we have people on staff,
continue.
What is happening?
Yeah.
That we don't have people on staff that is considered double dipping, and so that's illegal. And so it's not something we've normally done. And the attorney advised us that we can make our own decision, but in the end. Double dipping if you're on duty already and you're using that time during the school day and it's not after hours or other than your work day, that it's not customary and we haven't done it before. So do I, you guys, when do you want to make a motion?
I would like to say that I didn't have any knowledge of any meetings with an attorney.
That's why I'm giving you the information now.
So I would like to get in contact with the attorney, and I'm sure you would too, to to get further knowledge of this. So I would like to make a motion to table this item. Can I get a second?
Will the attorney be able to come? If
we'd have to pay her to come down here. Or you guys could talk to her telephonically. And that's why I was relaying it to you, because I'm the point of contact. And so that you guys are free to call her. We can table it, and you guys can address it with her if you want.
Can we do like a telephone call?
Would we you could, charge for yeah. It? Wish
we wish. Would you charge
for it? Or? Well, and that's the thing is that I know I need to mention, too, is that because I know that the person that normally does this isn't on staff anymore, and so I did offer somebody up to help him with the Azella. He told me specifically that he was training and he was going to do it, and so that's why I was a little bit shocked by this, because somebody did offer to step forward to assist him at no charge, and so that's why this was kind of we never had it. We normally approve contracts prior to services rendered, and so that's why it was kind of uncomfortable to have to address that. And so if you want to table it and you want to talk to our attorney, that's a good idea. You can get the information from her.
How much would you charge for the telephone call?
We have right now a few hours left of free services because I requested it. And so I'll call and let her know you guys are going to be calling her. And then that way we already have, I think at least 6 hours left that are paid for. That I requested for services.
Is there any way the attorney could come to us as a school board, like on the next school board meeting?
She can show up, but Ms. Walker is correct.
It should cost us more if she comes here. You have to pay travel time.
It's those travel hours, and it's a total of 4 or 5 hours of travel.
Right.
And then obviously for the time that she spends here. My recommendation is that if you're not prepared to vote for this, then I would recommend that perhaps I formulate a memo, share it with the board, and then communicate with Ms. Bainton, the attorney, and say, hey, can you let us know? Is this appropriate, not appropriate? I brought this issue up. It was not intended to divide the board or in any way put you in a bad spot. I feel like I've done that. I apologize, but the effort was, as I indicated to you, there is a lot of complex work connected to these two exams. There's a lot of man hours that get put in, and if we're going to do these tests properly and correct, which we need to, or else we get cited by the Arizona Department of Education. And I just felt that these employees had gone above and beyond, and that was all there is to it. I wish I could pull this back and have done some things differently, but at this point, I am where I'm at. So I'm making the recommendation that this be approved, but if you want to table it, I'm perfectly fine with that and get legal advice.
To your knowledge.
In the previous years, I know you haven't been here or anything.
Right.
Have we paid extra for?
Yes.
Wait. You guys, this
Mr. Morado, have we paid extra?
So.
What is the question? I can't hear the question. Would Brisa, can she speak, please? I can't hear your question without the interruption.
I know it's Dr. Morado, but he said I can call him Mr. Morado.
Okay.
Mr. Morado, according to you, I mean, I know you've only been here for a year, but have you, in the previous years, have we paid extra for teachers to help?
I don't believe so. I don't believe we've paid employees who have assisted. At that time, it was Ms. Torres.
Yes.
And Ms. Torres was the one that managed and she coordinated. She was the district test coordinator for Azella and for Ames, because we still give the science test to fourth and eighth graders, and for AZ Merit. Given the fact that Ms. Torres wasn't here, I had never done those tests myself. And so I had to take the training and get through that process. And so the employees that are there before you stepped up and said, hey, we can help. We have assisted
Ms. Doris in the past, but I don't believe they were paid in the past. And it was just the whole issue that Ms. Doris had already started in terms of the training for this year's Azella and for the AZ Merit, and then she wasn't here in January. So obviously I had to take it on. And so I took the training, and then this team has kind of gathered, and we're in the process of, well, we finished the Azella. We're two students away from finishing the AIM Science. And today we had the second day of 5 days of AZ Merit. So, and it's gone well so far. So that was a consideration.
Okay.
But again, this is certainly up to the board.
I have no issues.
I
have no issues approving it. The only thing is that if, because of the attorney saying that we're double dipping.
Well, and we talked about that. And again, you know, I think we did discuss the fact that I felt that we should go ahead and pay them. The problem is that we need to remind him again that he cannot hire people and pay off and without the board approval. And that in the future, would you just please get the board together and ask for approval of those services before they're rendered, and this wouldn't be happening right here.
I have one question for you, Dr. Morado.
To your, based on your experience, your numerous years of experience, and to your knowledge, would this be considered double dipping?
I would ask for legal advice. I don't believe so, because there are special contracts that are given for to individuals when they do their job and they're also in charge of other tasks.
But see, they're already on duty for that day. Usually those contracts are after the fact, after their normal duties, right? But they still need to be approved by the board if it's something outside the realm of their regular capacity.
Not always.
Give me an example.
We just pay some special activity contracts for individuals that do that particular work during the day that they are actually working here as employees. Now, to the comment about that I put them to work before the board had approved, yes, that happened. But I also didn't have a choice. The Zella was in February, and in January and February I took the training. There's a total of eight PowerPoints that I had to get through. There's about that many for AZ Merit, and so I got into a situation where we needed to move, and I needed to get this organized, and I needed to communicate with the faculty, and we needed to have a schedule. And so when I'm running in the way that I'm running to do that, it just was logical that I would use staff that had already had experience here at NACO doing these kinds of things. The decision to offer them a stipend was solely mine. And I don't even think I informed them. It was more a situation of I was seeing the amount of work that it took and that it has taken to do this right. And it was in that consideration that I brought it to the board.
Well, that's why we agree.
Am I interested in putting you in a tough spot, or am I interested in doing things illegally? I have no interest in that. So, you know, from that standpoint, if you want to table it, and
one more question.
And then we can go from there.
Well, would you consider what they did outside of the realm of their duties?
Yes.
Okay, well, in that case, I think that they're deserving of a stipend.
But it's during school hours. Like, we're not talking about, like...
Okay, but like you just said, it would be considered outside the realm of their regular duties.
And here is why I answered yes. So if I take an employee, and it's not the time of Azella, and it's not the time of AZ Merit, they're hustling. They're moving all day. They're working. They're in classrooms. They're working with children. They're supervising. They're doing the things that they do on a normal day. Okay, then the time of Azella shows up. Okay, now they have to be in meetings. Now we have to sort test booklets. Now we have to work together to get schedules done. And then in the actual time of the testing, teachers are testing. We have individuals that are escorting children into rooms so that they can do an individual part of that test because they have to use the phone to do that. And so there's a lot of duties that are connected to that. So can we say, well, that's part of their daily duty for that day? You know, we're just missing out on these other things that they would have been doing. Yeah, you're right. That I'm not going to argue that point. What I'm saying is that it's in that respect that I believe that this was over and above what they normally would be doing. And considering the sensitivity of the year, the fact that we expected to have Ms. Dorris here, she didn't accept the contract, and then we were in a position of, okay, well, these tests are a fact of life. We still have to move forward. And I was appreciative of the fact that that team stepped up and said, hey, we can help you. That's the long and the short of it.
Well, I said, I don't doubt that you guys worked hard and you deserve the money. The problem was that I offered somebody that was a specialist in this field to help him at no cost without interrupting your daily schedules.
And I need to say, for the purposes of the audience, speaking to the board, that I've not felt that the board doesn't want to pay employees.
No,
that's not what I've seen.
Right.
I think the issue has been that the board has had issues with its superintendent. In the manner that I have processed this request.
No, we've had problems with you not approving it prior to it being carried out and you offering the contract. We just had a problem with you not following procedure.
But
that's
the problem. I will say to you that not a dime has been spent, and they have not been paid, and we are not obligated to pay them. That's why I brought it to the board, because the work is being done because I need the help of the team. But I have not promised them pay, and I have not indicated, hey, look, this is what we're going to do for you. What I said is to the board is I'm bringing to you for consideration, I believe that they deserve the stipend because of the duties that they're doing over and above. So what are those things that I think I could have tightened, probably communicated with you earlier, probably done more work in terms of the justification for why, but I still stand by my recommendation, and with the understanding that the process is where I need to tighten up. And then for the purpose of the audience, that I have never heard members of the board say anything about, I don't want to pay employees. That's not what you've said. That you've had a problem more with me and the process than the work that the employees have done.
Well, you're not interpreting that properly. We have a problem with you not getting board approval for contracts, and this has happened more than once, and you know that. And so I think that at this point, I think that they do deserve the money. I think that you should still consult with our attorney to get her opinion about the double dipping, because that's the information I got from her. I would advise you to please try to contact the board prior to seeking out assistance and offering monies without board approval, because that's what we do. We approve the monies before the job has been done. But I think if we definitely want to compensate the people, because I know that they worked hard at this. But with that, I think that we would still appreciate give the job and the job well done and give them the monies, because Mr. Morallo has already put it forth.
Let me say something real quick. I think Dr. Morallo.
Okay, excuse me. I'll be right back. Go ahead and do your talk. I'll be right back.
I kind of need you here. All right, I'll wait until she comes back. Thank you.
All right.
So what I was going to say, I think Dr. Morado was doing the right thing here. He agendized this item. Maybe one part that I would agree with is probably should have let us know prior to the job being done. But other than that, this item was agendized for discussion. And that's why we were here our last meeting, March 6th, to discuss this item. And we're here again because we tabled it. And we were discussing this. I think we should make a decision on this based on, you know, the teachers did the work outside of the realm of their regular duties. So with that, I wouldn't consider that double dipping. Since it is part, it is outside of the realm of their regular duties. So I think that, with that being said, I think the teachers are deserving of a stipend.
And you just said that you wanted to table it until we talk to an attorney.
Well, and then when we discuss it some more, I asked Dr. Morado, you know, based on his experience and knowledge, and he said that he doesn't believe so, right? But
would you be able to get like a written report from the attorney's office?
I think so, or I could probably get a written opinion on this. I don't think that would be an issue.
And I think, like Ms. Morgan and Mr. Rodriguez, I know that they've always assisted in the science lab, but I assure you that we haven't had that many people assisting. They're usually here during that day anyway. They're already on duty, and that's why they're already on task for the day. And so, but again, normally we approve those contracts prior to the services being rendered, and that's all I'm asking, is that in the future that you go to the board and get those services requested before it's carried out. That's all.
So,
you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
So Dr. Malali can provide some type of memorandum from the attorney?
I thought we were going to go ahead and move on voting on it.
Is it the pleasure of the board to table it?
I'm ready to vote.
I'm ready to vote. I thought they could consult the attorney, get the information later. You've already kind of made this promise. This is the second time we've revisited.
So this is a recommendation I'd like to make, given the fact that this is also coupled with get an attorney's opinion or get our attorney's opinion. Mm-hmm. So there will be no payment made until I get back the attorney's opinion.
I think we should just pay them and be done with it.
Well,
that's what I think. And then I can have our attorney.
We want to keep it on file. We just want to keep on file.
There wouldn't be any payment anyway until the testing is done. So that's probably not going to be until early May anyway.
The Zella?
No, the payment.
Oh, well, we're talking about this item is about Zella.
It'll be
AZ Merit and Azella. So we're talking about AZ Merit and Azella combined.
The recommendation is because the team is assisting with the three exams, Azella, AIM Science, 4th and 8th,
right,
and AZ Merit. The bulk of the work has been Azella and AZ Merit.
But they don't get paid till after all the testing is done? Or do they get paid...
No, there has been no payment made. There's been no promise of payment.
So you were saying
if this is approved, they have to wait till the testing is?
Correct.
Was this last one about the Azella?
It was about everything, Azella, AZ Merit.
All right, so why don't we go ahead and approve the contracts, and then I will have our attorney send us a memo pertaining to what double dipping means, what it pertains to whenever you're already on at work and doing that for to clarify that.
So you
and then the, and then it let her address you about getting it approved, because before I thought we were just talking about Azella.
No, it was
because you told me that we still it was still prolonged and that Azella was taking longer, and so.
No, it's not that Azella is prolonged. It is.
It took longer than you thought.
There are three assessments that we are required to give.
Right.
And the team has been assisting in all three of those assessments.
What the hell is everybody talking about all the time?
Is that clear?
Yes.
The team is assisting with all three.
Okay.
The AZ merit will be wrapped up mid-April.
What is everybody talking
about? Okay. And then we will then put the paperwork through, which means that probably early in May, in a paycheck, they would see those funds. By that time, we should have the opinion of the attorney. If the attorney comes back and says, don't do it, I don't recommend this, and you'd be violating, you know, whatever it is that I'd be violating, I'll come back to you and say, look, I don't recommend that we make this payment.
See, when I spoke to you about somebody assisting you, I was specifically, and we just talked about that, I was talking about Azella. And I said Azella. And so that's why there's been some miscommunication there. I've got that now.
So it is the AZ Merit, Azella, and the AIMS.
Right.
The three testers.
Yes.
Okay. Got it. Okay. So without anything further, I'd like to move that we approve the special duty contracts.
I second
that.
I
second the motion.
Seconds? Ayes?
Aye.
Aye. Presentation and discussion action regarding approval of federal grants.
Yes, what you have in front of you is a list of the six grant federal grants that we have applied for. This is our allocation for these grants. And the grants have been submitted to ADE. And these are what we paid personnel out of and supplies. And do some professional development of all these six grants.
And who wrote all the grants?
Ms. Morgan wrote some, and I did, and I assisted.
And do we have any administrative stipends attached?
Just those that are, we're paying professional paraprofs out of those, Title I and the IDA Basic, the special ed grant.
Okay. Right.
There may be... for the professional development out of the four, Title IV, and Title I also. Rural and low income grant is basically just for supplies for the classroom. We divide that up into all the teachers.
Okay.
So any other questions?
Okay. Any questions? Nothing further, I'd like to move to approve item E, the federal grants.
I'll second it.
Mr. Olmos seconds. Ayes?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Item F, presentation, discussion, action regarding...
I'm sorry. Who made the motion?
Olmos.
And who seconded it?
I seconded it.
Olmos. It was 3-0?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I just didn't hear it. Go ahead.
Item F, presentation, discussion, action regarding the approval of a Becky Rapier to train 9 teachers in writing strategies for K through 5.
Yes, there is a summary there for your consideration that I provided in your packet. And when I consulted with Ms. Rapier, at the time she worked for the Arizona Department of Education through December of 2018, and she's an expert in writing and the use of syllables, and she gives vocabulary development training to predominantly elementary teachers. And so I asked her if she could work with our teachers. She graciously agreed, and she gave one training, I believe, back in, I want to say it was October. And the second training, we had originally set it for March the 30th, and I moved it to April 27th, and she now works for a school district and is doing consulting work on the side. So her price went up. So she is charging $1,400 for the one-day training. But it's the second training that we had asked her to do for our teachers. And so it is the K-5 teachers in NACO. And the first training had occurred during a school day, and we got a bunch of subs to come in and work with our kids while they were training. There was a request by some of the teachers that perhaps the second training could be on a Saturday. And so I did some work with this with Ms. Rapier and the teachers, and it was agreed that they would come in on a Saturday. So we saved money on the subs because the teachers are there during the week. But we will pay Ms. Rapier, which we would have paid her anyway for whatever day she came. And then in a subsequent board agenda item, there is the consideration for pay for the teachers for the training that they would take on Saturday.
And that would be what, for the teachers, a maximum of?
It would be $150
right,
for each teacher, because it's 6 hours of training at $25 an hour.
And Ms. Rapier was the $1,400?
Yes.
Okay.
It's $1,000 for the training, and it's the $400 because she's coming to us from Gilbert, Arizona.
Chris, ready? Any discussion?
Nope.
Okay, without any further discussion, I'd like to move that we approve the training with Ms. Rapier for the 9 teachers in writing strategies in K-5.
I'll second that.
Mr. Rommel seconds. Ayes?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Item G, presentation, discussion, and action regarding approval of the stipends for teachers to attend training at NACO. Aye, aye, aye. Item H, presentation, discussion, and action regarding approval of the speaker DeMond, I don't want to mess that up.
No, I think you skipped G, Ms.
Yeah.
Walker.
I'm G. Presentation, discussion, and action regarding approval of the stipends for teachers to attend training at NACO School on Saturday. Wait.
We did do that.
That was for the
Ms. Rapier.
So this is for the teachers that are going to attend the training.
Oh, that's the teachers themselves. Okay. Presentation, discussion, and action regarding approval of the stipends for the teachers to attend training at NACO School on April 27th. And that's the same date because it's the teachers. Okay. So do we have any discussion?
No.
I'd like to move that we approve the monies for the teachers to attend the training at NACO School with the same lady, April 27th. Do I get a second?
Second it.
Mr. Ramos seconds.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Whew. Presentation, discussion regarding approval. This is one I didn't want to mess up her name. DeMond Holt, PhD, to do the bullying assembly for students and trauma-informed care for staff. I think that's like a great idea. We have any discussion?
When is it?
The date?
The day, yeah.
So if it pleases the board, this would be a training on on April the 12th. For teachers at their professional development in the afternoon. And Dr. Holt gives great presentations. I have worked with him in a previous district, and he does great work in terms of anti-bullying and providing empowerment messages, especially to boys. So the original thought that I had is that I would have a girl empowerment day here, and then the speaker that I thought I was gonna have left NACO, and she's in the Netherlands right now. And so that kind of fell apart because she would have been a great person to come and present to girls in terms of a variety of social-emotional issues and anti-bullying and those types of things that kind of girls get into, especially from fifth grade forward. So I was going to do that for the girls. And then for the boys, I was going to have Dr. Holt come and present for them. So now I'm at the point of saying, okay, if I don't have the Girl Empowerment Day, I may have Dr. Holt just present to 5th to 8th graders, boys and girls. And next year I could possibly flesh it out, because I would like to do a Girl Empowerment Day. I think that would be a really good thing. And then, obviously, continue talking to the boys about, one, anti-bullying. Two, how do you talk to girls at your age? Which, believe me, they need a lot of work. And so those are the types of things that these individuals come in and they do very, very well. The trauma-informed instruction for the teachers is it's a fact of life. We have a lot of children that come to us and they are struggling with issues of trauma. And trauma and poverty are two closely related issues that is not new to NACO, but is certainly all over the nation. And we have an individual here in Tucson that right now is working on the western edge of the United States and with a variety of districts. And so he has agreed, if you want him, that he will come for, I think it's, is it
$1,200
or
$1,000?
Yeah, it's $1,000.
It's $1,000 for the...
And he would work with our kids in the morning, and then he would work with the faculty in the afternoon.
So it would be for kids and staff?
And staff.
And so age, that is $1,000 total on that?
Correct.
Okay. Any questions?
And he said I need to get him tacos.
I'm sorry?
Make sure it's Taco Tuesday.
Tacos? Instead of 1,000, you mean? Or in addition?
That needs to be included in the agenda.
Throwing some bean burritos? Okay, so we ready?
Yeah.
Okay. I'd like to move that we approve the bullying assembly for the students and trauma-informed care for staff.
I'll second that.
Mr. Omo seconds.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Presentation, discussion, action regarding approval of the two substitute teachers, Sarah Clark and Margaret Stevenson. I don't think there's any question about that. We need more substitutes, obviously.
I have one question.
Okay.
And I don't want to insult anybody's intelligence, but I just want to clarify this, that they are certified substitute teachers, correct?
Yes, they have the substitute certification. I believe Ms. Clark is not a teacher. She has a college degree and she has a sub-certification, which she's good to go.
But I'm assuming they have their background check and security clearance.
Correct.
And you've seen all those documents.
Correct. They're in here if you want to see them.
That's okay. If you've checked them and you know that they have them, then that's sufficient.
And then the other one is Ms. Stevens, and I believe she's been a teacher in another school district. And she is in the process of getting a master's degree through the U of A, and she would like to work subbing. Actually, she'd like to work at our school, but you know that's for another day in terms of any positions that we may have open next.
And she is a certified teacher.
She's a certified teacher.
Okay.
Great. Well, we welcome them because we do need that. So we have nothing further. I'd like to move that we approve the additions to our substitute list, Ms. Sarah Clark and Margaret Stevens.
I'll second it.
Mr. Omo seconds. Ayes?
Aye.
Aye. Item J, presentation, discussion, and action regarding the recordings of the board meetings and to broadcast them live on social media. What do you guys think about this? So, I think that the way the board meetings have been going, I don't really want that broadcasted, honestly.
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
You don't think it's kind of like...
I asked for this to be agendized based on... We had somebody mentioned this during our call to the public at our last board meeting, and I think it's a good idea. I think this is a public meeting. And
You think people would behave better if we did?
No. Well, I'm not really concerned about the behavior.
All righty. Okay. Go ahead and make your motion.
I would like to make a motion to approve the recording of the board meetings and to broadcast them live on social media.
Can I second it?
Before you vote, I have a question for you. So, my job would then be to bring back to you if there's any costs connected to this.
Oh, we don't have that on here.
Okay,
then let's table it then.
If you agree to do this, that's perfectly fine. But then
There's no mention of money here.
All we have right now is we have that fancy machine right there that does audio recordings of them. But if you're wanting the meetings to be video recorded, did I see that right?
I just thought that we were going to do that, that we had the mount on there.
Do it on live social media.
So
I didn't know there was an amount.
Yeah, so like a Facebook has a ability to do Facebook Live.
Okay.
So all you need is a cell phone.
There may be no cost to this.
Yeah, we need to investigate that before we decide then, because we should have that.
And so you can approve it, and then I'll come back to you in May and say, okay, I talked to the people that know a lot more about this than I do, and this is what it takes to get it done.
I think that we should table it, because if you're going to be a cost, it should be mentioned in there that the cost is pending.
And again, Mr. Onwells may be correct. It might be that it's just a cell phone and it just gets streamed in Facebook. I don't know enough about it.
Okay, so
I just knew enough that if there is a cost, I didn't want to put you in a position of approving something and then I come back to you and say, great, we're going to do this, and by the way, it cost this much money. I've been in enough trouble.
Hello.
Well, can we...
Can we...
Well, right now everything's going fine. So, okay. Thank you. I guess there was, and you could poke your head in if you wanted to check on us. Okay. All right, thank you. Bye-bye. There was an inquiry that things weren't going right here. What are we going to do here?
I think,
Let's get this moving.
So I think...
Knuckle School has a Facebook, correct?
We have a Facebook account.
Okay. Would there be any issues if we, use that account?
I would have no issues with that.
Okay.
And we use the Facebook to kind of, get out there and say, hey, look at what's happening in Knuckle. So this would fit right in. I just don't know if that is free. Again, I just don't know enough about
it. So why don't we...
I could tell you that you have a smartphone.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That belongs to the school district.
Yes.
And then you can get the Facebook application, and you can log in using the Knuckle School's Facebook account, right?
Yes.
So all we would need to do is we could do it ourselves, or you could do it, or Ms. Horton...
Don't you think this should be maybe a first reading if we're going to investigate some of this stuff?
It's fairly simple. I mean, all you need to do is...
But he's saying there might be a cost, though. So there wouldn't be a cost.
I would volunteer to get that cell phone, log into the Facebook account.
I can tell you that the district owns a smartphone, and right now we post messages periodically on Facebook. We have that. And so... I think if it's as simple as starting it up and you would see a cell phone right next to that machine,
okay.
And then we would be live streaming.
Yep.
If it's or as somewhere simple in as the that, back. Then it is what it is.
We have a stack of Call the Public. We have a stack here. So we've got to get this moving.
Okay.
And so if there's now the tripod with the phone, then it might be that we have that equipment here.
Okay. I would like to make
a
motion on that.
I didn't mean to put a monkey wrench into your meeting, but it's just I didn't want to come back in May and say, hey, by the way,
Well, if that's the case, if there is any cost, I think, we could approve this, and if there is a cost, then we could agendize that item
that's
as well.
That's fine.
I would like to make a motion to approve the recording of more board meetings and to broadcast them live on social media.
And just pending with cost, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Pending.
I'd like to get a second, please.
I second the motion.
Aye.
Seconds. Aye.
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 Number 5, the superintendent's report. We're going on hour 5 here.
So the main thing here is just... making sure that with the information provided by Mr. Payne, that I think we're now on the pathway to figuring out, based on our enrollment, based on staffing, based on the state letting us know, hopefully by the end of April, this is how much money we should be getting. We can then make or the administration can then make recommendations to the board about staffing for next year, the building of a master schedule, determining what direction we're going to go with staff and how many staff we're going to have, or whether or not we're going to hire another teacher. All those things, once the money is addressed and we have the enrollment figures, that we can make educated guesses and good reasoned arguments in terms of being able to offer teacher contracts for next year and know if indeed there's going to be a pay raise, what that's going to be, and that we can move forward with that process. And so that certainly would be the goal, and I'd love to get it done before the teachers leave for the summer.
Okay, thank you.
And then I did provide some information for you in terms of some polling that I did with teachers. Of our 34 employees, all but one has indicated that they are interested in returning next year. I told you about the 5 faculty members who are teaching in summer school, and I'd like to have 10, depending on the amount of students that we have here.
This is per your superintendent's report? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
And then there is a program known as AVID that I still have not brought to you, but in polling the teachers, because Bisbee uses AVID, and our kids feed into Bisbee. So this program would be ideal because it shows them how to study. It shows them note-taking skills. It teaches them about attitude and how to approach their studies. And so in my polling of the teachers, we're not at 80%, which is where I would like to be. But we have, so let me take it from here. The amount of students who want to take part of the, well, of the 15 teachers on staff, 9 are interested in the AVID program, and all but one of the classified staff are interested in AVID. And there is one employee that is undecided, and that's the report.
Great.
And so AVID is something that I will bring you in the future, but I still need more work to do with my teachers and the staff in terms of if indeed they want to move in this direction. Because AVID is one of those types of programs that it does cost to train, but you're barking up the wrong tree if you're training teachers who are not interested in having the program here. And so I don't want to waste their time and waste the board's time. So I have a little bit more work to do along those lines.
Can you repeat the statements of all but one teacher?
Teacher. I polled every employee in NACO, and of the 34 employees, 33 indicated that they were interested in returning to work next year here.
And then you said 15 out of the 9.
Right. Of the 15 teachers that I polled, indicating if they were in favor of AVID, 9 of them said, yeah, I'm interested in AVID being here. And 5 said no, and 1 is undecided.
Okay. Thank you.
That's my report.
Next, we have call to the public. First one up, we don't have any information item on here. We just have Eddie Miranda. I'm sorry? Oh, okay. Proceed.
Well, obviously, we're all here for our kids, you know. It's the most important thing.
Right, should
and,
be.
Everybody here would like to see Mr. Bonato here next year again. Since he's been here, our kids they've exceeded. And it's a really good school. And, of course, all the teachers here have been, you know, really helpful with the students here. So we would like to see Mr. Morales next year again.
Thank you.
Are you a parent? Are you a parent or?
Yes.
Okay, parent. Okay.
Thank you. Next, general information, Mr. Hector Martinez.
just the general information. There's a lot of us that didn't know what was happening, that have not come to the board meetings, and informed it. I think that by getting this on social media, it would be beneficial for everybody that cannot attend or whatever it is that cannot be here.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
No info, Arvaro Martinez. He looks happy. Thank you, Mr. Martinez. Jennifer Thomas.
Okay. Where do I start? I am truly baffled by the board's decision to open up the hiring process for the superintendent. I would think that if you have our best interest at heart and the school's best interest at heart, you would look at the amount of support that we have for him.
What?
I said if you had our best interest at heart and our children's best interest at heart that we teach, you would look at this room and all the support this man has. This is my ninth year, and I came so close to not coming back this year. And I came back. I said, okay, I'm going to give the new guy a shot. He has wildly surpassed all my expectations. And I think some people are visual learners, and I would like the staff that doesn't plan on coming back, if he does not come back, to stand up or come forward.
That's kind of awkward. Thank you.
We're not interested in going backwards. Where we came from was, we were not unified, we were not happy, we were not content, you know, and so now you're at the point where you're going to take that away again. We're not going backwards. And if you can't support us, we'll go find someone that can.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's see, Janet Coons? Has she left? Sharon Christie? Hello.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much. You know, I'm still a student at the U of A. I'm in the master's program. And they told me that U of A, school is a lot about politics. And I couldn't believe it. I'm asking you today to leave politics behind and whatever affiliations you have behind. I'm asking you, I'm here for your children. I love your children. I love them. I love the school. And this man has been the best boss I ever had. Ever. For more money. Dr. Morales, an experienced man. He's very modest. And of course he accepts being called Mr. Morales, but you deserve, you are a doctor. Only 2% of our population has a doctorate. Did you know that? How lucky we are in a small school like us to have a man with a doctorate. That's right. And he was once in charge of the high school in Tucson, the largest high school in Arizona, man. I want him to continue to be our mentor. And you know how the employees are more efficient? And as much, but unfortunately, ma'am, I cannot settle for another mentor but him. And it will be very sad if he leaves. And this is not a threat, man. I love your kids. But I will have to leave too, because that tells me that if you don't hire this man, you don't care about us. And by consequence, not about our children.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Ma'am, every day I try to be the best teacher possible for our children. Every single day. But we need a mentor. And the mentor we need is Dr. Evo Morales. Please, folks, go to your communities and spread the word. We, the teachers of NACO School, the teachers of your children, want this man to return. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Christie. I don't have a name on this. I have a phone number of contracts, et cetera, 661, phone number 703. Oh, that's okay. I don't recognize your handwriting by now.
That's hard to follow.
So, Ms. T. Titors.
As you know, I've been coming to meetings for over a year. I rarely miss a meeting. And I came in January. I spoke in September. And with the hopes that we have for this year. And I spoke in January about getting our contracts before school's out. It's very important to me. I go see my family during the summer. I want to know what position I'm going to be, what my salary is going to be, and I want to be able to get ready as I'm traveling around seeing my family, because I always buy a lot of stuff for my class and I get ready early. So I'm really asking you guys to give Dr. Morado a contract so that he can set up our contracts. And he has been a vision to this school. The kids enjoy him. The staff enjoys him. He's transparent. We can go to him for anything. He has opened their policy. We keep our windows open so he can come and look in. He doesn't invade in our space. But he comes in and he just checks to see how everybody's doing. I value that type of supervisor. And I know my coworkers do too. We really need to all get on the same page. It baffles me that you did not offer him a contract. I don't know the reasons. But how lucky are we to be able to get somebody so highly qualified? Why would you not offer him a contract? I've been teaching for 28 years. This is my fifth year in NACO. I've been in five districts because of I moved with my kids. They're military. And contracts are always offered in April or May. And I'm okay with May, but if you wait till the summer, I thought us were going to have to go elsewhere, especially if we're not knowing who our supervisor is going to be. So putting it out there to the public, you guys waited till the very last minute last year. We lost the person that said they would take the job. He came in and found teachers. And I'm not saying anything bad about Mr. Franco, but he knew since February that we needed teachers, and he didn't find any. Dr. Morrow had to come in, he found five. And put the schools back together. So please think about how we all think.
And that's all I have to tell you tonight. Thank you. Okay, let's see. Rosa Lopez?
Hi.
Hi.
Tonight, I am Paris. My kids study here. And I want to say thanks, Mr. Morado, because when I send my kids here to this school, I want to they learn, and I know you put your heart, you put your time. I work with you in a NACO initiative for get this program for the parents and the kids we put together, and we want to go to do a very good job, okay? And sometimes the money lost in guns is not good for the kids. We need good students. We need good people. We need good teachers. We need good superintendents. I'm really happy with you. And this is my thing, and I think all parents here think the same. Continue with this work, please. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your words. Claudia Marcel Morales. Hello. See, how many parents do we have here? One, two.
My English is not very good, so.
That's okay. That's fine.
Yo quiero agradecer al señor Morada porque yo he visto que mis hijos han avanzado bastante. Todos están muy diferentes.
She wants to thank Dr. Morada because she's seen her kids progress a lot and improve a lot, and she's seen how different things are.
Les quiero agradecer a los.